സോ ജ്ഞാനവിജ്ഞാന യോഗം, ജ്ഞാനവിജ്ഞാനം യോഗം, സെവൻത് ചാപ്റ്റർ ഭഗവത്ഗീത. കൃഷ്ണ സ്റ്റാർട്സ് ദാറ്റ് വിത്ത് ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ്, മൈ ആസക്ത മനഃപാർത്ഥ യോഗം യുഞ്ജന്മത ആശ്രയാഃ അസംശയം സമഗ്രം മാം യഥാവജ്ഞാസതി തക്ഷണു. വി ഹാവ് സീൻ ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് ബിഫോർ. ദെൻ കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ജ്ഞാനം തേഹം സവിജ്ഞാനം ഇതം വക്ഷ്യാമി അശേഷത യജ്ഞാത്വാ നേഹഭൂയോന്യൽ ജ്ഞാതവ്യം അവശിഷ്യതേ. വി ഹാവ് ഡിസ്കസ് ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് ഓൾസോ. യജ്ഞാത്വാ നേഹഭൂയോന്യൽ ജ്ഞാതവ്യം അവശിഷ്യതേ. വാട്ട് ഇസ് കൃഷ്ണ സേ ആഫ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ്? മനുഷ്യാണാം സഹസ്രേഷു കശ്ചിദ് യദതി സിദ്ധയെ യദദാം അഭി സിദ്ധാനാം കശ്ചിന് മാം വേതി തത്വത. We have discussed that verse also. Hope you have not forgotten what we have taught. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadadi siddhaye yadadam abhi siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvada. So it was then Krishna mentions there that manushyanam sahasreshu, about many many millions of people in this world, kaschid yadadi siddhaye, very few are inquiring after the truth. Isn't it? Very few are inquiring after the truth. That is very easy to understand. It's not difficult. People follow religion in this world. That's another thing. Everybody is religious in this world. Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Sikh, whatever it is. That is there. That is, everyone belongs to some group. There's no doubt about that. But what Krishna is saying here is, among them all, these millions who are Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Sikh, one who is looking for self-realization is few. That is important point. Self-realization is few. They want their religion only for maintaining some balance in this world. As I said before, actually we are all, when you are not inquiring about the self, we are atheists. Practically that's what it is. The reality is we are all atheists. But if you say to others, oh, I am a Hindu or I am a Christian or I am a Muslim, at least people will say, oh, he's a religious person. People will say, and there won't be any problems in this world. There's other problems comes from that, but at least to keep some for the census or for the government to categorize into some group based on the body, that's all it means, nothing more than that. It doesn't serve any other purpose. So Krishna's point is, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadadi siddhaye, that out of those millions and millions who are living in this world, very very few are inquiring after the truth. That's more important. Truth is important. Why? Self-realization, realizing the soul, what I am in this life. And among them, yadadamavi siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvada, Krishna says. Krishna says, among those thousands who are seeking after the truth, one who really knows me in truth is very, very rare. That is where tatvajnanam comes. Isn't it? Tatvajnanam, we spoke about that. Tatvajnanam is this. Understanding Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam through Tattvam. What is Tattvam behind it? So that is that verse, we discussed that also. And then Krishna started explaining the Tattvam. And that's what he said, Bhumi Ravanala Vayu Kamano Buddhi Revaja Ahangare Diyami Bhinna Prakriti Ashtatha. The eight things. Five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. And then mind, intelligence and false ego. Krishna says, these eight things is Prakriti, material nature. You can see, anything in this creation is within this eight. Within this eight. And therefore it's called Maya. Maya. Maya is also Prakriti, which is these eight things, made of these eight things. Bhumi, Avam, Anilam, Vayu, Kham, Manam, Buddhi, Ahangaram. These eight things. And after that, Krishna says, there is a transcendental thing beyond this material nature, which is called Paraprakriti. These eight things are called total Aparaprakriti, isn't it? Aparaprakriti is called. Then Krishna is going to talk about Paraprakriti. Aparayam idastvanyam prakritim vidhimeya param jivabhudam mahabaho yedam dharide jagat. This verse is a very, very interesting verse. Why? Well, I'll tell you why it is interesting. Aparayam idastvanyam prakritim vidhimeya param. Prakriti, this Aparaprakriti, Aparayam, Itastanyam, Prakriti, which is Prakriti, Aparaprakriti. Beyond that, there is a Paraprakriti, Krishna says. And this Jiva Bhutam Mahabaho Yedam Dharyate Jagat. Jiva Bhutam, Jiva belongs to that Para Prakriti. Jiva belongs to Para Prakriti. Yedam Dharyate Jagat. Now, that Yedam Dharyate Jagat in that verse is telling us that Jiva Bhutam is sustaining the universe. Try to understand this logic behind it. These are all Acharyas have thought about this in depth. And that's why Krishna's words are not just coming from the air. It's coming from the truth. So it has that full back behind that, the truth behind it. He's saying there, Jiva Bhutam Mahabaho Yedam Dharyate Jagat. Krishna is saying there. Jiva Bhutam, which are the Jivas, Dharyate Jagat, they sustain the universe. They sustain the universe. If the Jivas were not from the Paramatma, if he has not come from Paramatma, Jivas on its own cannot sustain the universe. It's not possible. So it shows that the Paramatma himself had to transfer into this Jiva Bhutam to become Jiva. Jiva Bhutam, it says. This Jiva Bhutam is the word confuses many people. When they discuss about this, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Manashashtani Indriyani Prakritistani Karshati. That's the verse which comes later. Using that word, some people will say that Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke, yes, Jiva is a Amsham or part of Krishna, part of Krishna. Mamai Vamsho Jiva Bhuta. And we also say Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. They are eternal. Yes, they are eternal. There's no doubt about that. Jiva Bhutam Sanatanam. But how did they become Jiva? You see, you know this issue, what is discussed in the internet a lot between the devotees. When did he fall? This question. It's always there, isn't it? What happens is, it comes up and there'll be a few comments on that. Then it disappears. Then suddenly it comes back again after a few years. Where did that happen? Prabhupada said this. Or other Maharaj said something else, somebody else said something else. Like this, it goes on and on and on. So, if you understand what Jiva is, then this misunderstanding will go. Jiva didn't fall from anywhere. Jiva has come because of ignorance. Jiva was created out of ignorance. Ajnanam, avidya is the cause behind Jiva. Soul is the same soul who is in the Jiva as well as in the Paramatma. When it became avidya took over, in the Jnani's language, it is like that. When avidya covered him, it became Jiva. Exactly like the way devotees say. What did the devotees say? When he decided not to serve Krishna in the Golokam anymore, he fell. This is the devotee's argument. In principle, they are not different. They are one and the same. Spoken in two different ways. Devotee will say, when we became envious of Krishna in the spiritual world, we fell from there. Isn't it? That's the devotees, that's how we came here. That's what the devotees' argument is. And there ends the chapter. We can't ask any more further. Why did I become envious? There's no answer to that. If I became envious of Krishna in Golokam, that means there is envy there also. That's what it means. But we say, it's Vaikuntham, there is no envy. So these things will contradict there. So there's also a problem there. So that's why in bhakti process, sometimes you may have this problem. It's difficult. You have to accept it. There's no other way. That you became envious of Krishna and you fell. That's all. So why did I become envious? And once again, did I want to become envious again if I go back? All these questions will come. So that is a problem. So, but Jnani see it in a different way. Jnani says that avidya has come, ajnanam has come, and ajnanam is only the cause of. And that is not a real thing. That is the Jnani's approach. For through Jnanam or Bhakti, whichever way you see it, it is something where you have no. How did Jnanam come? There is no answer to that. There is no answer. Jnanam is there. That we know. Jnanam is there. Ignorance is there. So that is the principle Krishna is saying here also, that the in the case of a soul, Jivatma, Jiva situation is that he belongs to the Krishna's domain, isn't it? He is a part of Krishna. By nature, we are same as Krishna in qualities. Satta Chitta Anandam. Krishna is Satta Chitta Anandam. Only difference is that we are saying that As a devotee, we will always say that we are separate from Krishna. We are always separate from Krishna. Because only then there can be bhakti executed. On the understanding, Krishna is the master, we are the servant. Yani say it in a different way. They are saying that Jivatma and Paramatma are one and the same. They became Jiva in ignorance, it is Jiva. When the ignorance goes away, he is not Jiva anymore. That is when self-realization happens. He is not Jiva anymore. So these two things, both are part of the Vedantam. They both come from the Vedanta tradition. And they are both in different states in life. Initially, everyone is Dvaiti, is separate from Krishna. Initially, it has to be like that. The other realization is happening much later. When one comes to that stage of self-realization, it can change at that point. That's another thing. But coming back to Gita, we were discussing this, what was that verse? Abhaneya mitasthvanyam prakritim vidhime payam jiva bhudam mahabhaho yedam dharide jagat. Jiva can sustain this universe, jiva bhudam. The soul which has become jivas, yadam dharide jagat, then it suits okay. Why? Soul has the potency to sustain this creation. Only soul can sustain this. Atma. So, Atma and Jivatma and Paramatma, when Jivatma is linked with Paramatma, it can sustain the universe. But Jivatma alone cannot sustain the universe. Because Jivatma in quality is Paramatma's quality, is present there in Jivatma, which is Sattva Chitta and Anandam. These are things which will get clarified when we reach that stage. We shouldn't worry too much about it at this stage. So anyway, coming back to this 7th chapter, which mentions there, it's raining outside is knowledge, rain is Krishna, is vijnana, is realization, isn't it? It's raining, so it is raining, that's knowledge. But to see that it is raining and realizing it is Krishna is realization. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see a few verses in that way. Tapamyaham aham varsham. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 19th verse. Krishna is saying there, Tapamyaham aham varsham. Tapamyaham aham varsham. Nigranam srujami cham. Amadam chaiva mrityascha sadasaccha aham Arjuna. Krishna is saying there, Tapamyaham aham varsham. Arjuna, the rain and the drought. Tapamyaham, tapami means it is the drought. Varsham is the rain. I am that. And nigranami srujami cham. I am the immortality and also immortality as well as the and the death personified. I am that. Krishna is saying that. Isn't it? Tavamyaham aham varsham nigranami usrajami cha. Amradam sevas matyascha sadasaccha aham Arjuna. Now if you read that verse in the translation, you will see Krishna says there, Arjuna, I control the rain and the drought. I am immortality and I am also death personified. Both being and not being are in me. That's how the translation is. Straight away, if you take the meaning, it is Tapamyaham aham varsham. I am the rain. That means when you see the rain, you should know it is Krishna. It's Krishna that is raining. Nigranami. Similarly, when death is coming, it is Krishna who has come. And deathlessness is also Krishna. Immortality is Krishna. Mortality is Krishna. And both being and non-being are in me. Now, Prabhupada's translation is based on understanding a Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is from that position this translation is, this verse. Otherwise, you have to understand that when you see Krishna in the world, as Krishna's forms when you are looking at, that is the Krishna's form. That rain that's coming is Krishna's form. The drought, that is Krishna. Prabhupada himself says this, when the Japanese bombed Calcutta at the Second World War, they have reached that far and they were bombing Calcutta. Prabhupada was saying that at home, bombs were dropping. Prabhupada says, that's Krishna. That's Krishna. So, all the creation what we see, anything that's happening here is Krishna. But we have to recognize that is realization. That is vijnanam. So, jnana vijnanam is like that. Tavamyaham aham varsham. So, when it is whole world is burning with the heat and the drought, it is Krishna. When there is floods and there is a lot of water, rains coming, it's Krishna. When there is war, it is Krishna. When there is death, it is Krishna. And when there is immortality, Krishna is saying, it is also Krishna. And later on, in the 7th chapter, if you look also, you will see, later on we will see that verse, 8th verse. Rasoham apso kaundeya prabhasmi shashi suryayoho pranavam sarva vedeshu shabdhage paurusham rishu. That is the verse there, isn't it? Rasoham apso kaundeya. When you drink water, Krishna says, the taste of water is I am. I am the taste of the water. Isn't it? Rasoham apsu kaundeya. Rasoham apsu. Appa means water. And the taste of that water is me, Krishna is saying. So, water has a taste, that is knowledge. Knowing the taste of the water is Krishna is realization. Is vijnanam. Knowing water has a taste is jnanam. Knowing the taste of the water is Krishna is vijnanam. Rasoham apsu kaundeya. Sun is shining, moon is shining. Prabhasmi shashi suryayo. The sunshine is coming from the sun planet, or moonshine is coming from the moon planet, is knowledge. But that sunshine and the moonshine is Krishna, is vijnana, realization. This is the way we have to understand Krishna. Otherwise, if you simply... we should not keep Krishna only in the temple. This is the point I'm making. Don't put Krishna only in the temple, in the deity, and lock him up there. And so you say to others, oh, Krishna's gone to sleep now. So don't make any noise. We'll sometimes say like that, isn't it? When you're living in the temple, you will say all that. But not to lock up Krishna like that inside the temple. So, Rasoham apsu kaundeya prabhasmi shashi suryayoho pranava sava vedeshu shabdhage paurusham nrushu. This is Krishna consciousness. He says here that in water, I am present there as a taste of water. As the taste of water. And this is the form Krishna is spoken in the Upanishads. This form of Krishna is spoken in the Upanishads. Yadashvadra Upanishad, it says like this. A rishi is meditating on Krishna. There is, he says, that when it is lightning in the sky, in the forest, it's raining and it's lightning. The rishi is saying that lightning is Krishna. That lightning is Krishna. And the Krishi, the sage, is completely intoxicated by seeing Krishna in that way. And he says here that he is able to see Krishna in the lightning, in the thunder, in the rain. All the natural phenomenon in this creation is Krishna. And so that ecstasy, that delightfulness, what they feel at the time when they see these manifestations in this earth planet, That is also seeing Krishna. That is the way to see Krishna. So, that is what Krishna is going to talk about. That's what Krishna is saying. Among millions of people who are in this world, only very few people are endeavoring for this. Among those who are endeavoring, only very few are perfected. Perfect in that. Tattva Jnanam has happened to them. One who has got that Tattva Jnanam, he is a Sthita Prajna. Krishna said that before, isn't it? Krishna said that before. So we discussed all that, and we also mentioned about this, that the that mind, intelligence, false ego, all these things with the five material elements, it becomes the eight. And this eight is the whole world. This eight is the whole world. You are not outside this eight. All the time you are within this eight. Isn't it? Eight means what? Five material elements. Its subtle form in us, tanmatra form, isn't it? Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham means sound, touch, sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. Five things. they are the qualities of the material elements. Extremely subtle form, they exist in the material elements. Because those material elements are present inside us, these five things are present inside us in the form of these five senses. Five senses of knowledge, which is eyes, ears, smell, the nose, the taste and the touch. These five senses. They are these five material elements present in us. When these five senses are working in a person, you can take it that all the five material elements are present in him. It is not difficult to accept that. And when these five material elements are present inside a person, in a subtle level, called as tanmatra, along with that, all our business in this world carried out. All our business is carried out. From waking up in the morning, right up to the end, when we go to sleep, what happens? All what is happening is this interaction through these senses and the mind with the sense objects. Two material elements outside. Material elements are outside, we have material elements inside, and through the mind it is interacting with the material elements outside. That's all it is, nothing more than that. So these eight, Krishna calls this as prakriti. These eight things constitutes the prakriti. And we are stuck in this prakriti. And our karma is happening within this prakriti. Within this prakriti, all karma is happening. We may try very hard to escape from prakriti, but through the law of karma and through the laws of material nature, which is the three modes, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, maya or prakriti keeps us under total control. Under total control. We are unable to escape from this. So, therefore, Bhagavad Gita is talking to us that the this material elements, five material elements, which is known as, they join together. That is called Panchikaranam. Panchikaranam means all five material elements joining together. It is called Panchikaranam in the Bhagavad. How they join together? That is also very important topic in the Shastra. How these material elements join together. In the modern science, they do not accept it that way. They accept in a completely different way they look at it. But Shastra is telling us that these five material elements is everything. Material elements is everything. So, here, the important thing to know about Jiva. As we are discussing about Jiva. Lot of things to know about this Jiva's nature. What does this Jiva Jiva mean? We keep talking about Jiva Jiva. I am a Jiva Atma. Or I am a Jiva. So Jiva means, basically, Jiva's nature is, it has got these three modes of material nature in him. When it is a Jiva, three modes of material nature is there. And also karma in the Jiva. Karma is also present there. Which means material body, senses, prana, the life air and the mind, and one who identifies with them forcefully, and identifies with them forcefully, which means false ego also present. And that same soul, Chaitanyam, or the living force, when it takes control of all these things, which are the three modes of material nature, karma, material body, mind, senses and intelligence, and prana and the life air. In all these things, when he is identifying with them and functions in this world with aham, ahamvritti. Ahamvritti means abhimanam, or thinking himself to be the doer, that carried on with kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, that chaitanyam, that soul, living force in that state is called jivatma. There is another word used is sutratma. Sutratma. And Mahatattvam, all these are words used for that, to represent, explain this Jiva quality of a Jiva's nature. Jiva's nature. It's a big subject, this Jiva. What is a Jiva? We say Jiva, Jiva, and we say we are part and parcel of Krishna. That's not enough. We should know that what is Jiva's state is. Jiva is in that state. In other words, three modes of material nature is in him, and karma is in him, and he has got his gross material body, mind, intelligence, prana and everything. And he is busy with all these things, and while doing it, he also has the false ego that I am the doer of everything. Kartrutvam is there. Plus, he also has the desire to enjoy it. Bhoktrutvam is there. If all these things, if you put it together, that's Jiva. That is why it's called Jiva. Otherwise, So these are all called Upadhi in us. Upadhi. Once you separate them out and get rid of them, then the quality of the individual soul is as good as the super soul, as Krishna. As Krishna. So, so what happens to this jiva? What happens to the jiva is, under the control of time, that living force keep moving from one place to another and from different upadhi, different bodies in other words. It keeps transmigrating from one body to another, one place to another, from one time to another. And he is controlled by time. He is controlled by time, kala shakti in other words. But the person who is enjoying everything is called jiva. He has got these problems in him. He is the doer and he is the enjoyer. He is very firmly established in that. He is always thinking, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, number one. Number two, he identifies with the body, mind, intelligence, pranan, everything. He identifies, and the mind. He identifies with it completely. Number three, all the three modes of material nature are in him. And then he continues with his activities at different places, in different circumstances. With the result of that, he will keep changing his body from one place to another, one planet to another, and one species to another, 8.4 million different species. All these changes he keeps on experiencing. And that living force who is going through all of these things is called jiva. It's called jiva. That is what is jiva means. Jiva means. So everything what is enjoyed is jiva, bhokta. Kartrutvam bhoktrutvam is in the jiva. So because it is like that, the bondage is also for jiva. Bondage is also for jiva. And because it is like that, the misery what he is experiencing is also jiva. Everything is jiva is who is experiencing it, isn't it? Remember Krishna said this in the Bhagavatam also. Bandham moktham idhi vyakhya gunadome na vastuda gunasya maya mulatval name moksham na bandhanam. So long as you are jiva, you have all these things. Gunasya maya mulatval, because you are under the grip of maya. Once you are freed from maya's grip, after that, name moksham na bandhanam, there is neither moksham, there is no bondage, there is no liberation after that. So how did this jiva come about? That is the next question, isn't it? That it is wrong, and it's wrong means it is meaningless to inquire about the origin of jiva. Origin of jiva. Why, you know why it is not, it is meaningless? Because this jiva nature is not a real one. That is why it's pointless inquiring about it. Jiva bhavam is not permanent. It will go after a while. Just like when you catch a cold in the body, you know very well after a few days it will go. In the same way, this jiva nature, only thing is it lasts for a few lifetimes till you get released from this, till knowledge comes. Once the knowledge comes and realization comes inside, jiva is gone. There is no jiva after that. There is no jiva bhavam after that. Jiva is finished then. So therefore, that is why it is said, don't inquire about that, because how will you inquire? You may have jiva bhavam today. It can happen this life, next, last life, life before that. And how will it help you knowing when it started all? The only problem what it is now is that we are, as jiva, suffering in this world, experiencing happiness and distress in this world, and going through the cycle of birth and death. We want to come out of that. That is our goal. That is self-realization. That's more important than trying to find out when the jiva has come out from Golokam or from Vaikuntham, when it has fallen. That's meaningless. It's no use at all. Because jiva bhavama is not a real thing. It's not even a real thing. Because people are not thinking on a spiritual level. They are thinking from the bodily level. That is why this problem is coming. They are thinking that I've got this body because I fell down from the spiritual world. Fell down from the spiritual world. You cannot exist in the spiritual world as jiva actually. Because jiva, by quality, by now, you are as good as this. You have all the spiritual qualities there in the spiritual world. There is no question of bringing any of the material problems there, like enviousness or any kind of raga dvesham, things like that. You can't bring that to spiritual world. If it is that spiritual world is like that, then we may live here as well. Why go there to fight there with somebody else? That question will come. So all these are philosophical level. These questions are discussed. But important thing is, Jiva is, does exist when we are in ignorance. Then you are a jiva. When we are a jiva, when we are in the ignorant state. So, what manifests in this world as mind, prana, living force, and material body is all that jiva. It is jiva which has manifested in all these different forms. So, only when by continuous realization and total detachment from this world of material elements, and when we started becoming closer to the truth and we become firm on self-realization and the knowledge starts developing inside, that this we will come to become aware of that jiva's non-existence. Jiva's non-existence. And at the same time, the world also will get dissolved in jiva. World also will get dissolved in jiva. You see, initially when one comes to spiritual life, for him three things exist. What is it? Jiva, himself, the self, then the world outside, and then God. Three things, isn't it? That's how everyone begins their spiritual life. Three things. Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara. Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat, they call it. Jiva, Ishvara and Jagat. This relationship between these three is what is discussed in different philosophies. Whether it is Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Advaitam, in all ways, what is the relationship between the three? That is what is discussed. Naturally, it is easy to understand that in the beginning, the three exist. All the three exist. That is why, you know, in Shastram, in many places, they will talk about creation. Isn't it? In Bhagavatam also, there is creation spoken. How the world was created. Because for a jiva, when he comes to spiritual life, first thing he wants to know, where did all this come from? That's the first question. So to keep him satisfied, creation is spoken. That is in that level. Only you have to accept it that way. Now, the same creation is spoken in different ways in different scriptures. You will notice that also. Bible is spoken in one way. In Bhagavatam spoken in another way. Bhagavad Gita not spoken. That's not interesting. Bhagavad Gita never touched this question of creation. Because as far as Krishna is concerned, how does it help you by knowing when it was created? But when someone comes to spiritual life, first thing he wants to know, what's this world? What's my connection with this world? And then he also accepts there must be someone up there managing everything from somewhere. He keeps an eye on us, he keeps an eye on this world as well. When something gets upset in this world or in me, I get upset with him. Who is there, who is managing, he's not managing properly. We'll say like that. That's what always the complaint, isn't it? When an earthquake happens or a cyclone happens or anything like that happens, who gets blamed? Krishna gets blamed. We don't blame anybody at that time, do we? We say, up there, he's not doing the job right. What have we done that he has to do all this to us? In one stroke, millions goes from the world. And then we are saying that Krishna is not fair. Krishna is not fair. What have they? Then there is no answer. So because there is no answer, then there is no God exist. Therefore there is no God. You see, they come to the firm conclusion like that. So these are things in ajnanam. Ajnanam means ignorance. In ignorance you say all these things. Because there is no knowledge. That is why Vedas are saying, Vedas don't give importance to anything else except knowledge. Knowledge is the key there. Why? We'll take Bhagavad Gita and have a look at it. Jnana yogena sanghyanam, karma yogena yoginam. Two processes existed in this creation. Krishna says this, isn't it? If you look into the earlier chapter, whole chapter, I think. Krishna says, what's that word? That's the beginning. Krishna's statement it is. Krishna is saying this. He says, Pura Prokta Yogo Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena. It's interesting, the beginning of that verse, fourth or third chapter, I come to know. Fourth, I think.
Three.
Three, three. Yeah. Three, three, okay. Yeah. Logesmin Dvivida Nishta Pura Prokta Mayanagha Jnana-yogena sanghyanam, karma-yogena yoginam. As far as Krishna is concerned, knowledge is important there. In the sense that, Jnana-yogena sanghyanam, if you look at the translation, says, I've explained that there are two classes of men who realize the self. Two classes of men who realize the self, who realize the truth, in other words, are inclined to understand him either by empirical philosophical speculation, which is Jnana-margam, and others are inclined to know him by devotional work, which is a mixture of karma and bhakti together. Karma and bhakti. Actually, it is referred to karma yoga more than the bhakti thing. But karma also is bhakti, is not different from that. But what is important there is, Krishna says, jnana yogena sanghyanam. Jnanam is important. Krishna never preached any religion as such. He didn't say that I've started this religion, from now on you follow me. What Krishna did was, Krishna spoke the knowledge, proper understanding of the realization of the self. So, he says here, Logesmin dividanishta pura propta mayaneha jnana yogena sanghyanam karma yogena yoginam. Logesmin dividanishta, from time immemorial, there is only these two systems. These two. Dividanishta pura propta mayaneha, by those who are looking for the truth. Pura propta is the most ancient form of inquiry. What is that? Jnana yogena sanghyanam karma yogena yoginam. Through jnanam, jnana yogis follow that perfection, and through karmam, karma yogis have also reached that. That is why I mentioned this also before. We have two dynasties, solar dynasty and the lunar dynasty. Solar dynasty followed the jnana margam, lunar dynasty followed the karma margam. That's how these two dynasties existed. And that's what Krishna is saying there. Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. So, Jiva has only one opportunity. He has come and he has taken this Jiva state, in Jnanam state, ignorant state. He is seeing the Jagat, the world outside. And he thinks that there is a Ishvara controlling somewhere else, keeping, monitoring everything what goes on here. So, three things. Jiva, the Jagat, the world, and Ishvara up there. Three things for him exist at the moment. That is the beginning of everybody's spiritual life. He is like that. As he makes that inquiry and gets deeper, when Tattvam becomes a doctrine, he'll start realizing this Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat are not non-different. They are all one and the same. And to come to that platform, it takes a very, very long time. So that is what it is mentioned here, that Jagat is also Jiva's Veshti form. Veshti means that you know that five material elements constitute this world outside. They are present in us also in the subtle form, Veshti form. That is called a Samashti, we are Veshti. What is not there is not in us. What is in us is only there. There is nothing there what is not in us. And what is not there is not in us anything. Except the soul. Soul is the only thing. Even that soul is present there in another way. But important thing is that there is no other new thing, what you can call it. That's why it's called Veshti and Samashti, it is mentioned here. So, at some point, you'll come to understand that Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat, all these classifications will go, what exists is only soul, Brahma. Only exists. That is a much later realization of the two. But in the inquiry, in the beginning is Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat. All that. So, our ignorance is these three states. When we are in ignorance, we realize that these three things exist. This is our ignorance. That is what spiritual ignorance means, not any other ignorance. Our ignorance is these, accepting these three things existing in this creation. Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara. So, when we analyze this, you can see, then from a Veshti point of view, Veshti and Samashti. Samashti means in the gross level. Veshti means in the say this is the miniature level, this body, us. It's a miniature level. In the gross form, it is the creation. So, in the miniature level, we can see ourselves that we have got these arms, legs, everything in the body. Plus, we have the five material elements inside this body, which is causing various activities in the body like evacuation, blood circulation, breathing and all sorts of things going on inside this body, which is happening in the gross body, isn't it? In the sthula shariram. In addition to that, There is also this subtle body inside, Sushma Shairam inside, which is experiencing the dream state as well. And then we also have another body inside which is called Karana Shairam or causal body, which experiences the deep sleep state. So, in all these three states, Jiva is going through these three states in three different identities. Therefore, he is given three names. He is not given one name. When he is in the vacant state, he is called Vishwam. When he is in the dream state, he is called Taijasan. And when he is in the deep sleep state, he is called Prajnan. It is based on the way the soul, Jiva, behaves there, in that three states. It's very interesting if you think about this. You see, in the vacant state, you are, how do you look at yourself? You look at yourself as though you are only a small part of this whole creation, in the vacant state. In the dream state, how do you look at yourself? The whole creation is a part of you at that time, isn't it? Everything is happening within you. All the dream experiences is happening within you. That is why when the jiva goes from vacant state to dream state, its function has completely changed. Today, suppose if I look at this world, what will I say? I'm on someone who lives in Lechmohit. In this world, there is so many countries. England is one country. Lechmohit is one small village in that. And I live in one house in Lechmohit. In other words, what do I think about me? I think about myself as a part of this whole jagat, creation. I am the small and the creation is the big. This is in the vacant state. As soon as I go into dream body, what happens? In me, I create the whole world within me. My own world I create. I'll see all of you, if I happen to dream in the night, all of you, you'll all present there. I create everybody because it's me who takes everybody's different forms at that time. I turn into Mike, I turn into this chair, I turn into the book, I turn into the deities, I turn into the room, lamps, everything, I am there. It is for me, everything is happening within me, isn't it? Everything is happening within me. So in Vishwan, when the Jiva is in the Vishwa state, he is considered thinking himself is a part of the creation. As soon as he moves to Taijasa state, which is in the dream state, whole creation is happening within him. Can you see the difference between the two? In the Vishwa stage, you are considering yourself a part of the creation. And in the Taijasa state or in the dream state, the whole creation is a part of you. There you are the controller and creation has happened within you. You have created everything and you experience it there. And earlier you have seen as a part of the creation, now you are seeing creation as a part of you. Creation is a part of you. And so two opposing and contradicting samskaram has come from the same jiva. Same jiva who was in the vacant state and the dream state has created two contradicting samskaram in you. Samskara means experiences now in you, isn't it? So it is these two contradicting samskaram, it is through that the jiva is enjoying this creation. Jiva is enjoying this creation. When he is thinking he is a part of this world and he is limiting himself to his body in the vacant state, through the senses and sense objects he enjoys the world. In the dream state, he creates the creation within himself in the dream state. He expands himself as the... It is from the soul everything is coming. From the jiva it is coming. Jiva expands into the world and he enjoys there also in another way through the dream. Enjoyment is there in dream also, isn't it? If I am enjoying very well, if you wake me up, I won't like it. If I am suffering heavily in the dream, if you wake me up, I'll thank you for that. See, this is what it is. This is all enjoyment misery means, nothing else. It's all the mind is experiencing inside. Krishna is saying that this experience of the vacant state and the dream state are two contradicting experiences. Neither of them are true. We think this is true and that is false. But only difference is, Jiva has come to experience the vacant state in one way and experiences the dream through dream states in another way. Both are enjoyment of the mind, nothing else. Mind is also a false thing, it doesn't have any reality. So, which is real then? If everything is false, then what's real? Isn't it? So that's the question. The prajna, prajna means the one who is in the deep sleep state, he is very solid. It's a very solid state he is. Because in there, he doesn't allow, the same jiva in that state, doesn't allow to go out and do anything. He keeps to himself. That's what he does in the prajna. In other words, at that time, he throws away his body, he throws away his intelligence, mind, everything, and he stays within himself. And that is the prajna state. And it is that prajna has got what is known as prajna shakti. Prajna shakti. What is prajna shakti? Prajna shakti means, when we discuss shastram, people say, oh, it's very difficult to understand, we say. Sometimes, who says this? Some intelligent people are saying this. So, material intelligence and prajna shakti are two different things. Spiritual intelligence is this prajna shakti. Spiritual intelligence is prajna shakti. Material intelligence is what is based on the brain and all the things, what's going on inside. They have divided the brain into so many sections and all that, isn't it? And they say one side of the brain is doing this business, one side is doing something else. Scientists tell all these things like that. That may be right or wrong, that doesn't matter. It's not important. What's important here is, this deep sleep state, that prajna it is called, when the jivatma is in the prajna state, he has his power there. That is called prajna shakti. If that prajna shakti is developed, all the realization of the Upanishads much easier. It happens easier. That's why many Upanishads conclusions, we cannot straight away understand, because we are trying to understand with our material intelligence. But one who has developed prajna shakti, he will catch hold of that very strongly inside. He will experience the spiritual realize what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, will be easier for him to develop that. So, because he is like that, in other words, what is the quality at that time of prajna shakti? Prajna shakti's quality is that he is not polluted with material body, material world. That is prajna shakti. So, one who is not polluted with material world and material life and material consciousness, his prajna shakti will be so high, he will capture the spiritual message very well. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, he will understand better. This is the reason why we say, in order that the prajna shakti to develop, we have to minimize our connection with the world. You can't be a hardcore materialist here and to develop spiritual realization. That's not possible. These two things won't go side by side. That cannot work. When prajna shakti develops, what happens is, because you can see this, the logic behind it is, when he, jiva is prajna, in the prajna state, what does he do? The first thing he does is he throws the body away and the mind away. Which means he has thrown the world away, in other words. So when he has thrown the world and the mind away, he is pure. And he is in a much advanced state. And there he can understand things. So that same prajna shakti comes to our awakened state, then you are as good as in the realized state. That prajna shakti. That is why, that is what is called spiritual intelligence. It is not the material intelligence. Intelligence in the science, intelligence in the modern world, what we refer to, is the intelligence based whether you can solve the mathematical equations, or develop some new computer program, or develop some new engine mechanism, or technology, something like that. You'll be considered very intelligent, isn't it? That is manipulating the matter. That is a siddhi actually. Developing, manipulating the matter. That is different. But here, jiva's nature, Krishna is saying, in Vishwan he is in one nature, Tejasa is in another nature, in Prajna he is another nature. In Prajna state, he gives up everything, body, mind, intelligence, ego and everything. In that state, his Prajna Shakti, that Shakti what he has got at that stage, is pure state where he can, we can acquire the, all the transcendental realizations, is possible in that state. So, the whole self-realization process is nothing but bringing that state, prajna state, into vacant state. Into vacant state. Only one problem there in that deep sleep is, it is covered. Avaranam is there. Coverage is there. Isn't it? If you know where you will find this in the Srimad Bhagavatam?
Then
Parikshit Maharaj went to the forest, didn't he?
He went to the forest. What for?
To hunt. And after that,
he went
to the ashram and saw that saw that sage. What is his name? Shamigarishi. Shamigarishi was sitting there. And Shamigarishi, if you read the description of that, it says here, I'll read those 3 verses. Parikshit goes to see him. Ekadatha niruddhyamya vicharan mrgayam mani mrgana nugadasha andakshudidastrashido brisham. He goes and sees Shamigarishi there alone, and while in the process of hunting the animals there, mrgana nugadasha andakshudidastrashido brisham. He was feeling hunger and thirst and gorge there, thinking, suddenly when he saw the ashram, just by accident he saw Shamigarishi's ashram there, and he popped in there to see what's going on. So, Jalashema Jakshanam Pravivesha Tama Ashramam. Prior to coming there, he saw a lake there, Jalashema, the water lake was there. So he sensed that there must be some sages, ashram must be close by. He thought like that. That is why he decided to go and find out and ask for water from there. Because he saw the, normally ashrams are built nearby some lake or tanks like that, and the forest, so that they can get water for the bathing problem is solved, and you don't have to lay all these pipelines and water pressure and water tax and all associated. We made our life so difficult. People can't even bathe anywhere. They're restricted from any. All rivers are polluted. All lakes are can't go anywhere because of terrorism and all that. They put fencing strong around that. But sages, they made life as simple as they can. They will build the ashram in such a way close to the water facility, and then that solves all the problem for them. As far as bathing is concerned, keeping themselves clean. So it says here, Jalashya Ajakshanam Pravivashatam Ashramam Dadarsha. He saw, what did he see? Munim Asinam Shandam Milidalochanam. Our Shamigarishi is sitting there, completely closed his eyes, Milidalochanam, and Shandam. Totally in peaceful state. Shandam Milit in Shandi. Totally in Shandi. And he says, what he noticed was, Parikshit noticed was, Pradirudhendriya Prana Manobuddhi Uparadam. That complete control on the prana. By seeing him, Parikshit is also a yogi. He also knows what yoga means. Looking at him, he understood that whole prana is under complete control. Pradirudha Uruddha Indriya Prana Mana Buddhi. All of them, prana's flow is restricted. All senses are under control. Mind is under control. Intelligence is also under control. Intelligence is also controlled. And then he says the best word. Sthanatraya Param Praptam Brahma Bhudam Avikriyam. Sthanatraya Param Praptam. Sthanatraya means these 3. Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti. Sthanatrayat Param. He has gone even beyond the 3 states. Beyond these 3 states of Jagrat, vacant state, dream state, deep sleep. He has gone beyond that, and Parikshit could understand that. Sthanatrayat Param Praptam. And Brahma Bhudam Avikriyam. He has already come to Brahma Buddha stage. Which means Avikriyam, no karma, no kriya karma in that state. So Parikshit has recognized that at that time itself when he saw that. So we'll discuss about Jiva next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, the Atma Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada.